This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, July 7th, 2021. The Memorial of Blessed Peter Tarote, by Father William Doc Holliday.
We are guilty concerning our brother, therefore is this distress come upon us. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This story that we had in the first reading today about Joseph is familiar to anyone who's gone to church for more than a few months. This story, one of the longer ones in the scriptures, but a story that is pointed and we can take away from it an understanding of the deep love that God has for his people. And what's really interesting is that that deep love is a lot of times exhibited to us by external harshness. External harshness is not something that necessarily has to be a chastisement. Let us not, little footnote on that, let us not ever consider that our Lord does not chastise. He chastises because we are his children, and no good father does not chastise his children. But when our Lord uses external harshness, sometimes it is for, again, exhibiting his love to us because it proves something to us. It is not a conjectural thing. It's not just propositional. We see our Lord actually engaging us in his love for us and how we need to engage our love for others. So we don't want to say that deep love versus external harshness. It's not an either-or proposition. It is truly both and. In the story of Joseph, we see this. We see Joseph, this young man who, as you read this, you got to be really hard-hearted to not almost have tears in your eyes to read this story where this young man's own brothers, well, first they conspire to kill him, then they cut him some slack and they just sell him into chattel slavery, you know, and we get these details about the anguish that Joseph had when his brothers, he begged them. Obviously, as we read, and it doesn't say in the situation itself when they threw him in the cistern that he begged them, but we see that it was extended and it was even anguishing to his brothers who sat around and ate while he was in the cistern. Okay, they sat around and ate while he begged them to set him free, to not be harsh with, and they didn't listen. Our Lord, he's like, that's just horrible. There's no reason for that. But there is a tremendous reason for that. It was because that happened, the people of Israel were saved from famine. God's deep love for them, knowing what was going to happen, set this in place. And it's not only that aspect, but also the salvation history that we see from this whole thing that shows us that our Lord's deep love, again, is manifest at times in things that we would consider temporally very harsh. But there's a reason for them. It is, again, like chastisement. But again, we can also see these things happen when there is no chastisement for all intent and purposes, but nothing less than a show of love. We look at this deep love, and it's manifest throughout Scripture. This is just the only story. I mean, it's just a very pointed one, this story with Joseph. But we see, for instance, in the Gospel today, does it seem like Jesus may be being externally harsh when he tells his apostles, he gives them authority over demons and illnesses and everything, he goes, but don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans, just go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, doesn't Jesus want everybody to be healed? Yes, he does, but in his own timing. We never want to lose sight of this fact, this whole timing thing with our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, this continues into the early foundations of the church. St. Paul is ready to go into Asia. I mean, he's beelined into Asia, and the Holy Spirit himself stops St. Paul from going into Asia. Is God in some way an enemy of the Asian people? No, it just wasn't time for it yet. St. Paul, you're not going into Asia. St. Thomas is going to go into Asia. So it's not only a matter of time, it's a matter of who he wants to do these things. So we need to understand these things. As we see these things, it's the it manifests in the Jewish people, particularly the Jews. When you look at this, you see the seedbed of things that are continuing in history in our day and age with the Jewish people. And a lot of times people go, oh, look at God being harsh with them. But God is trying to save to this very day, his people Israel. When our Lord Jesus Christ is here in his earthly ministry, he tries his best. He sends his apostles only to them. Because why? Why only to them? Because they were the ones who received the promises first. And they did something that no one else had done wrong. And that was reject him. They had the law. They had all the prophets. The Gentiles didn't. The Samaritans had become sort of like Jewish Gentiles. They used to be Jews, but now they've gotten into these things where they're practicing their own thing. You know, they're sort of like Protestants of our day. You know, we used to be chosen people of God, but now we're going to do our own thing. We used to be in the Catholic Church, but now we're going to do our thing. That's Protestantism. Okay, nothing new under the sun. But the Jewish people have turned their back on the prophecies. It was crystal clear when and how the Messiah was going to act. Crystal clear for those who had eyes to see. But there was rejection of him. Our Lord Jesus Christ prophesies against that rejection. He lets the people of Israel know, if you don't embrace this, when he laments over Jerusalem, he's weeping. The God-man himself is weeping. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, if you had just come and gathered, I would have gathered you like chicks under my wings. But they didn't. And subsequently, his prophecies come to fulfillment. Within 70 years, the Jewish wars, a civil war amongst the people, and attacks and invasion from outside. Millions dead. Horrendous situation. More ghastly than you can imagine. You ever want to read about it? There is a book, The Jewish Wars. Read it. It is almost unfathomable. Why? Because he wants to call them back. He wants to, because I've prophesied. You don't believe me here. It's coming to fulfillment. Believe me now. And they continue in their unbelief. His own people continue in their unbelief to this day. We see the turmoil of the Middle East. You see, he's always wanting to call them back. This is the reason. It's externally harsh in our view, but he wants them to come back because he loves them. When God confers power on someone, he does give direction. And again, you can see, he confers power on the apostles. All they go to Israel. It's his dictates, his mandates, who he wants to go, when he wants them to go, how he wants them to do things. This is what we need to do is acquiesce to God, because the conferring of power of God to those whom he uses advances his kingdom in the way he knows it needs to be advanced. We see this in the story of Joseph through all his trials, months of imprisonment, harsh treatment, chattel slavery. We see this situation move to where he is second only to Pharaoh in Egypt. What a blessing that is. And what does he do? He acts just like our Lord does. When I said his love for people, it manifests itself in external harshness, like the way he treated his brothers when they came to get food. They didn't recognize him, and he treated them harshly. He said, I'll show you now. I've got all the bread, and you're here to... No, that's not what... It actually, one part of it, actually, when he's treating them harshly, They don't know who he is. They don't know that he speaks the language. And they're talking amongst themselves about how bad they did him wrong. Or not him, but their brother. And they know that this is God's chastisement. And Joseph turns and weeps. He goes off somewhere and weeps. Why does he weep? He's being harsh with them, but he's being harsh for a reason, because he wants to teach them a lesson in ultimately what he says about God's will. You meant it for evil, but God used it for good. So we learn that story through Joseph. We learn it through the apostles. Fishermen, tax collectors, no heady theologians, no uber pious people. These fishermen, I call them to myself. Little footnote on this one. This is the only place in the Gospel of Matthew where the 12 are referred to as apostles. These apostles that he called, why didn't he call everybody? He didn't. Those are disciples. But he called 12 apostles. And some people look at apostolic teaching, particularly in our day and age, as being something harsh. Why they do that, I don't know. Because they talked about sin and hell and things of that nature. That's not harsh. That's not harsh. God wants us to be aware of that. He wants to warn us against these things. It can appear, maybe to some, externally harsh, but it's a reality. It's true. We warn people of things like that because we love them. If I didn't care about it, I wouldn't mention a word about it. Exactly what, they should get their comeuppance anyway. We know what their comeuppance could be, and it's horrible to think that your worst enemy would endure hell. So this is our business. And if it takes being externally, you're telling them, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven if you do this, live this way, live in these types of relationships. You will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's harsh. That's uncharitable. That's true. It's true. And if you love them, you will present that to them. This is the church's mission. We are one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Apostolic means that we teach exactly the same thing that the apostles, and we stop. We're not the church anymore. We're not doing what we're supposed to do. This can elicit weeping, just like it did Joseph. We shouldn't glory in or be happy about confronting people with the reality of their sinful condition in their reprobate lifestyles. Reprobate means damned. It can make you feel bad, and it should make you feel bad. We don't get a kick out of offending people. But if the truth offends, so be it. The scriptures themselves say the gospel is an offense to those who are perishing, but to those who have eternal life, it is the words of salvation itself. So we, again, we don't glory in this stuff. Joseph did it. Joseph wept when he had to do it. Jesus did it. Jesus wept when he had to do it. At Lazarus' tomb, shortest verse of the Bible, Jesus wept. That was externally harsh. Well, he knew Lazarus was sick. Why didn't he just go and heal him? They let him die. So he died. His sisters were stricken to the core because of the death of their brother. Externally harsh, but Jesus proves that he's God when he says, Lazarus, come forth. So something that was externally harsh is something that is gloriously loving, because it teaches us who Jesus Christ is and us. We, as we advance his kingdom, as soldiers of Christ, may be called upon. Martyrdom isn't something for back in the day when they fed us to lions and burned our people as torches and lamps. This can be real. Today's memorial, Blessed Peter Torot from Papua New Guinea. I've never even heard of that guy before. You should hear about him. Both of my parents were alive when he was martyred. It's 1945. And the Japanese had invaded and he wasn't a priest. He was a catechist. He was a married catechist. And the Japanese invaded. Mandates. Nope. No more of these religious gatherings. Blessed Peter, whatever. And he continues to preach and to catechize his people. under the Japanese occupation. They occupied in 1942, and he went on until 1945, when they finally called him in. Are you catechizing? Yes. They beat him relentlessly, and then sentenced him to 2 months in a concentration camp, and everybody knew what was going to happen to him, because at the end of the 2 months, all of a sudden, oh, there's a doctor going to come and give you some medicine. His wife visited him and said, they're sending a doctor to give me some medicine, and it was kind of surprising because I'm not sick. And they gave him a lethal injection. That wasn't fast enough for them, so they beat him while he was convulsing of dying from that lethal injection. In 1945, how could God let something that happen to one of his faithful people? Because it teaches us something. It teaches us the same thing that the ones got fed to the lions. Okay, this is a reality of our faith. It's ugly because this is a sin cursed and fallen and ugly world, and we're supposed to be taking people out of it, saving souls out of this world, not trying to clean it up. All right, this is our mission. And sometimes it is difficult, and sometimes it is ugly for us to do so, as in his fate. But at the end of the day, we have a blessed martyr now that continues that chain. Okay? Again, martyrs aren't stories from back in the day. They're for today. And there will continue to be martyrs that will be obviously externally very harsh, that our Lord keeps doing that. It is by the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. This is the reality of things. The verses that we read in the first reading today really kind of sum this all up. Because when we look at it and we see these words, we have to understand that, you know, we don't deserve this harshness. Yeah, we do. You're just a Joseph brothers. We deserve to suffer such things because we have sinned against our brother, seeing the anguish of his soul when he besought us and would not hear. Therefore is this affliction upon us. Who's our brother by adoption? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ has cried out to us in his anguish. He besought us to go make disciples, and we would not hear. When we don't hear what our Lord Jesus Christ wants, he's going to fix things. And he fixes things, again, not necessarily by chastisement, but by proving to us the necessity and the ugliness of the reality of sin and death, which has come into this world. He has come in to rectify that. We are supposed to send that message to others. He gave it to his apostles. They gave it to us. When we see that, again, in a nutshell, we can be confronted with the necessity of doing things that may seem externally harsh, particularly in our presentation of the faith objectively. But it's out of our deep love for them that we exercise this external harshness. In the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.